Bless you, Jesus. Mendahala. Yes, sir. Besele Kadoso. Bless you, Jesus. Beda Karoso. Belekedese le manso. Dele Kadoso. Hear the words of my prophet, saith the Spirit of grace. For many do not recognize the spirit of prophecy. Therefore, mark those that they've had in their minds in a mystique of what is prophecy and what is not. For prophecy is my mind spoken at the moment of my heart's desire. For even as the worship leader this morning spoke, these are my words of prophecy to you, saith the Spirit of grace. For did I not say that my old men shall dream dreams, the young men shall see visions, and upon my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit, and they will prophesy, speak my word. For I say unto you, listen, and listen carefully. For Satan has desired to sift you, and to sift this church, and these elders, and these people like wheat. Like never before, take into great consideration your position and your posture in the house, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not reckon that the words that you're hearing now are mere words of men. For if you do, you're snared already and deceived. Take this as a warning from the Father, and know this, that I desire through my Spirit to exalt what you've preached and what you've taught by example these many years. Something that you've desired that resembles everything that my kingdom is about to be birthed in the earth, and you are birthing it. But know this, that the hordes of hell have been sent to devour you. They will devour you from the least to the greatest. They will take those things that be small and turn them large. They will cause molehills to become mountains. They will cause small things to become large things, and little things of offense to become great things of separation. Hear these words, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Stay steady in the ark. Stay steady. Many deep waters are around you. Do not seek to escape. Stay in the ark. Stay in the place. For not many days from hence, the ark will settle. The windows will be open, and the glory of my Spirit will come on this place, even as it is already available, present tense. The manifestation and the reality of it will come into fullness. But I say unto you, as you've heard these words, worship me, irregardless of atmosphere, irregardless of presence of who is present and who is not present, irregardless of circumstances in your own personal life, irregardless of emotions. And know this, that one of the greatest onslaughts that the enemy will send in these days is emotions. Do not trust your emotions. Trust my word, saith the Spirit of grace. Make no decisions. Speak no words out of emotions. Speak my word. And if you do not know what to say, then say nothing. Be quiet. And speak my word at the right time, the time of opportunity. Speak my word and worship me. This is the message of today. Blessings I bless you with, and honor I honor you with my presence and my Son. Have I not said that those who bear fruit, I will purge them, that they will bear more fruit, saith the Spirit of grace. I speak to you as not as an angry father, but as a father that cherishes what he has in the earth. Follow me and follow these sayings, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you. I glorify you. I glorify you. I exalt you, Jesus. Father, we receive your word spoken to our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let us walk in line of that.
Thank you, Lord.
We dedicate ourselves towards that.
Yes, yes, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Love and adore you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory,
glory,
hallelujah.
We win.
Yes.
Amen. And we're going to have the fullness of this revival. Glory. I just appreciate God, the Holy Spirit, just beginning to open up things this morning and solidify and speak to our hearts. I didn't get up this morning with a warning. I came and the Holy Spirit began to warn me and other elders as well. And that's been something that's also been in our heart recently. You know, if you're a good shepherd, you listen and you obey. And I don't cry wolf all the time, but the elders know that when I, through the Spirit, give a warning by the Holy Spirit, it's true. Hallelujah. See, I don't do anything else. I don't work any other jobs. I don't have any other sidelines. And none of my hobbies get in the way. This is what I do with all the good stuff that you do. So when I hear, I know that I hear. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want to say thank God for good, the attitude of elders and people that are watching. As you know, we try to provide a 30-minute atmosphere prior, and sometimes we don't get much fellowship. So there were some that were fellowshipping during that time, and I knew that we were under attack. I just went to those guys and said, could you guys please help me, let's get to the front. And the attitude of one of those just exemplified, yes, sir, right now, sir. And I didn't ask for that. Exaltation is in the kingdom is humility. That's humility. When you're, what right do you have to tell me anything? That's where most of the church is at nowadays. And that's why they have no shepherd that can hear to start with. Their shepherds don't pray in tongues and listen. And then if their shepherd does tell them anything, they think, well, I know as much as you, so why should I listen? You'll never have revival like that. We're going to have revival. Hallelujah. I love all of you. Let's stand and give each other a great big hug. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Appreciate all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Familiar verse of scripture, but we've ministered here before, but since it's Mother's Day and since this has to do with godly women, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. You've heard this exhorted several times by myself through Gary Carpenter and others. And same truth, but the truth being repeated, good morning, is you got something precious there, don't you? Yes, you do. Hallelujah. We're going to be dedicating her soon. Yes, that'll be fun, fun, fun. So, Luke chapter 8. Now, this is the ministry of Jesus during a time where he is going about and ministering. And so we see something behind the scenes here. And it came to pass, verse 1, it came to pass afterwards that he, that's Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. You know what the glad tidings were? The blind were seeing. The lame were walking. It wasn't just words. Hallelujah. It was demonstration. I want to be part of a church that gives more than just words. I want to be part of something that is not only says, but does. Amen? So that's what the glad tidings were. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And it lists one, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Praise God for the specifics of the Word of God. Tells us just what happened to this lady and for her for the kingdom of God, or by the kingdom of God. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And that's always been funny to me, and we've exhorted that several times. Herod is trying to kill Jesus. He's already killed, he eventually kills John the Baptist. And he is after him, but he wants to see him because he wants to see miracles. His steward, which is his comptroller or his accountant, the guy who writes the checks, his wife is a follower of Jesus. So Chuza's money is being spent by his wife to support Jesus in this information, which is incredible. She's writing checks to Jesus or sending PayPal donations to Jesus if it was today, and her husband works for the guy that's trying to kill him. That's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, we'll just stop right there. They were ministering to him of their substance. Now, we've said this before. Jesus worked in two realms. He worked quite comfortably in the natural realm, which still had miracles working with it. It's a miracle. It's the gift of God. It's God who lays upon people's hearts to be generous and to out of their generosity. Sometimes it's just a working of God for them to break. Sometimes it's greed, but not always. A lot of times it's fear. And a lot of times it's fear. Even when they have plenty, they fear that they can't. Maybe reservoirs are not big enough reservoirs for what may be coming. Sometimes it's just selfishness. They live their whole life taking that vacation, building this on the house, putting new thing on this, new floors, new this, new that. And so God sometimes just gets tipped. It's just a tip. But when you find what the true motivation of giving was, is, and it's amazing that all these were women. Now, I'm not saying, and it said many others. So I'm sure that the many others had to be men as well. But it shows us here what was the motivation for their giving. And it's the standard for New Testament giving. The standard for New Testament giving is not the curse of the law. It's not the invitation of bribery by the flesh. It is the absolute thankfulness of what God has done for you personally. And out of gratitude, your willing and desire for other people to receive the same thing, the same goodness that God has provided. Mary Magdalene, she was one that had to have been crazy. She could have been institutionalized. At least she may have been functional at times, but schizophrenic at others. But once, however long those devils had been in her, perhaps from a little girl, who knows? But once she was freed, the pressure that came off of her mind exemplified itself in a gratitude that said, if Jesus did this for me, I want to give to him of my substance. In other words, they were sponsoring Jesus. Now, we read where Jesus fed the 5,000 through five loaves, two fishes, and then another place, 4,000. And he did supernatural things like that, and he would tell Peter, you know, it wasn't an ordinary thing. Go put a hook in the sea, pull up a fish, there'll be a coin in the fish's mouth, pay my taxes, your taxes, and on and on. Those are supernatural. But normally, the ministry of Jesus was financed, just like this ministry is financed. Those kinds of people had, I got to pause for a second. Every once in a while, I think it's me. It might be the Lord. I'm not gonna. Every once in a while, when I'm surfing on the TV, and I wound up. I had a little bit of time last night that I could relax before I went to bed, and I wound up watching an old Western, Conagher, that's what I, you know, wound up, something decent, you know. Less than this, I saw this guy's name that I used to have quite a bit of respect for. He is world known, and almost everybody in here would know who he is. And I really liked him because he was kind of like a Holy Ghost fireball preacher. I liked certain aspects of him, and I thought, you know, because about every 6 months, I'll hit one of them. You know, I said a few months ago or a time back, I would rather that you watch a good John Wayne movie than watch Christian television. I'm on the verge of saying I'd rather you watch a good R-rated movie than Christian television. And I'm not advocating that, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of R-rated movies that won't do you the harm that Christian television. So I turned it on this guy, and I was like, oh, God. I hit the segment of his appeal, and he was sitting there, really nice dress, groomed hair, really nice, and he said, his appeal was, get your Pentecost offering in now. It's May 20th is the deadline, and he went on to talk about Pentecost, how significant it was. Okay, I got you. I understand the day, but the day's not significant. It's the power of the Spirit that's significant. And it's you. But he put the significant, if you'll get this offering in by May 20th, then there's going to be a blessing on you. He also opened up a card that had two vials of anointing oil. If you'll send that, and by the way, if you send $1,000, he said this, your name is going to be put on a plaque. That plaque is going to go into my office, and you're going to be in the inner circle. You're going to be on the inner circle. And I'm getting there, and you know what? I'm glad I'm not eating because I'm starting to get sick. Sick on the inside. The gimmicks that the church goes to try to sell someone on just out of the volition of their own heart. Listen, there's no offerings that you can tag and say, this is a special offering. Listen, if you're ever in a church and a preacher starts that, no, he might be a good man, but he's full of it. He's just full of it. He doesn't know the word. She doesn't know the word. You can't tag a blessing onto any specific day and say, if you give this, then you're going to be blessed. Your blessings are because you know him. And your giving is because of the gratitude of your heart. Hallelujah. And you're on the inner circle whether you give five or 5,000. If you do it out of love. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So let's pray. Father, we bless you. I pray for that man. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with him. And all those kinds of preachers, many of them love you, God, but they have been taught gimmicks. They've been taught how to pull things out of people that are just not by the way of truth. Father, I'm asking all of us in this I'm asking you that all of us in these last days come to a place where we understand more and more what you desire in every part of our heart. We love you, Jesus. Speak to the hearts here that are watching and those that are giving this morning, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. Praise the Lord. And then the little guys can be dismissed. Amen. Pray for me now. We're not going to be long because we want to bless our mothers and then allow them to have a good day, wonderful day. Father, we thank you for this beautiful message and song and those that are with us this morning. And we do pray from the very beginning that our mothers will be blessed, edified, and feel comforted, and those that are watching this morning, and future mothers, and mothers that really have performed, women who have performed all the operation of mothers, but yet have not yet given birth. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. Let this edification be to them today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you for praying for me. I appreciate that. Glory. So I want to say, as I said before, and we'll have a little bit of time here to bless and pray over our mothers and to honor them, having them stand this morning. I had a most wonderful, still have a most wonderful mother, raised me in the church. I'd say till I was 16, 17, until I 18, until I got grown to where that I could, till I got out of the house, basically, I did have a drug problem, and it was quite significant. And Gary Carpenter had the same drug problem, and it helped me become the man that I am today. I was drugged to church Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night, and they didn't even make exceptions for schools and stuff. You brought your homework. If you had to do it under the pew, lay there and do it. But you're going, by God, you're going to church. Yes, sir. And there wasn't no, it wasn't no, like, okay, let's negotiate or anything like that. Hallelujah. And bless the Lord. It makes men and women out of people. That discipline kind of makes, so glory to God. We have a generation that doesn't understand that. There's too many excuses why not, but hallelujah, amen. You can do it in love, and my dad did it in love. He was like, well, why? Well, because I'm six, he was a big guy. He's bigger than me. I'm 6 foot, 240. I can squish you. I can do away with you and make one just like you. So I can make another one just like you. So it's not a problem. So no problem, Dad. I can go to church. Amen. You kids figured that out pretty quick. Hallelujah. Amen. You gotta explain it sometimes. You get into intellectual discourse when you explain it, but if you try to explain it, but if you just explain it, they understand it real good. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. There are two races of people in the earth. There's not red, yellow, black, and white. There's not Hispanic or Haitian sitting in here this morning. As far as God's concerned, there's not white, yellow, Asian, Seminole. There's only two, as far as God is concerned, it's truly, this is truth. As far as God is concerned, there's only two races. Two races. That is the race of His sons and daughters that know Him and that are His by right of new birth and have received His spiritual DNA. And then there are those who are still not His sons and daughters, and they're living in the world. The world says, well, they're all His offspring. He's the original. He's their creator, but He's not their father. Creator in that sense. And so the only way that He can become your father is that you have to be born from above. And so there's two races in the earth, only two races. There's only two races, if that is a truth, then there's only two races of mothers in the earth. Those that are in Christ, daughters of God, and those that are out of Christ, who are daughters of the God of this world. Now that sounds tough, but if they're not a daughter of God, then they're a daughter of the God of this world. Until their DNA is changed, their spiritual DNA is changed. Now, inside the church, once you step inside of the threshold of Christ and you become His DNA and you become a daughter or a son of Him, inside, then there's two types. I didn't say two races, I said two types. Once you're in the race, the spiritual race, the DNA of Christ, then there's two types of mothers inside of the church. There are mothers, number one, that are daughters of God and who are becoming disciples. That means they are laying their life down. And there are, number two, mothers who are daughters of God and are living their own lives. Did you hear that? Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you are his disciple. In fact, very little of the church nowadays are his disciples. Very little. I'd say a minority. Homer, could we stretch it in and say 10%? I don't know. That are actually being, first of all, let's put much of the blame where it lies. Clergy like to throw the blame off on the people. The blame lies, to start with, right here. The pulpit. They don't have men laying their life down. They're too busy wanting a salary and wanting to live their life. And they have no idea of what fasting and prayer. Now, I'm not trying to elevate my office. I'm talking worldwide. And so if the man that you're listening to, if he's not laying his life down, and if he's not systematically teaching you line on line what the Word of God. See, much of the church nowadays, they don't even have any idea what this is. I mean, as far as, I have never met a Catholic, and I'm not running the Catholics down, because I believe there is some born-again Catholics. I really believe that. I love them. There are some born-again spirit-filled. I've never met a Catholic that knew the Word maybe half as much as I know it. Now, I've went to school. This is all I do for a living. I study the Word hours every day sometimes. But their religion has taught them, and I'm only using them as an example that speaks for the whole church now. Their religion, by nature, puts all their trust in the papacy or in the priesthood. In other words, whatever the priest says, we don't have to learn the Bible. If you say, well, I did, and I was a Catholic, you are rare. You are a one-tenth of one-tenth of one-tenth. They don't know it because they just... Now, most of the church, the fundamentalist church now, has gravitated to that. They've come to watch laser light shows and hear a 20-minute sermon and say, wow, that's pretty good. And so when they debate you over sin, they don't debate you according to the Word. They won't give you Scripture. They'll just tell you how mad they are about your bigot opinion of what sin is. And if you say, well, give me Scripture on it. See, the church has not been taught in these last days that this is the standard. This is the mind of God. And if you're going to come, first of all, I'm not going to debate you, but if you come, you better bring your A game, and your A game better be on this. You better be able to quote your Scripture and know what your Scripture says. I don't want you to tell me, well, I don't agree with you because I don't like your face, okay? Or I don't like the way your mother dresses you or anything else. You tell terrible jokes. That won't stand up. This is the mind of Christ. So the church has not been taught that. And so consequently, mothers are in the church, and mothers who are sincere, that have been born again, many times they go to a church, and it can be, quote, a spirit-filled church, and the things of God are not being taught to them. And as a result, they're just like, it's really hard for them, but unless they have some kind of breakaway, maverick kind of, I'm going to make the best of a, you know, difficult situation, and I'm going to glean, I'm going to teach, then they just follow the suit of where the pulpit's at. So we understand this. Mothers that are in the church, that are daughters of God, they're going to go to heaven, but they are not disciples. And that could be said of men and women both. Let's look at a scripture of women who make good mothers or great mothers. Let's go to 1 Peter. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter, to start with, just to lay a little groundwork, chapter 1 and verse 7, because I want you to see and understand why he says what he says in just a moment that really wouldn't make sense except that you understand this verse in chapter 1, verse 7 first. I will tell you that Peter is writing to a very maligned, beaten up bunch of people. In other words, it is not what it is today concerning the walk of Christianity. We are facing some persecution, but not really as of yet. And you didn't fight a crowd coming in here this morning. You won't fight a crowd going out. The worst possible thing that's happening to you right now is somebody says something negative against you on Facebook. My God. Okay. None of us are shedding blood. You know, if Facebook depresses you, get off of it. And then, you know, and then if what people say about you depresses you, you're going to have a tough ride if things get worse, you know. So get tough and stay tough, okay? But these people are having to be coached. They're having to be coached up. Coach them up, coach. Okay, so he's telling them, look, verse 7. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold, that means many different kinds of temptations. Now this is tests and trials he's talking about. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in praise, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he is specifically talking to the, and if you could, we don't have time, but you look at 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he's admonishing people here that are just going through hell. I mean, they're just going through it, man. If you study history and you read much on history, if you became a Christian, if they didn't, and they weren't just facing it from Rome, that's the government, but then they were facing it, if you were Jewish, they were facing it from their own Jewish community. And so it's people can put a lot of pressure on you without physically touching you. And if they malign you, if you're a merchant and you got a market, and then you become a Christian, and if it goes through the community, whether the Romans ever come and shut you down or not, if the whole community stops buying from you, you go bankrupt. So this was, they were maligned, the people stopped buying from them, their children were not allowed to go to schools or universities, they were just cut off. And so they were having to try to figure out a way to make it in the most manifold of different trials. So it was tough. Understanding it was tough, let's go to chapter 3. Understanding how difficult was. This is talking about wives to begin with, but this would work for any, what is going to be said at the end of this would work for women who are wives or women who are not. And I want to thank God for my mother. This may be my last Mother's Day that I see her. She has been in hospice now for the last couple of weeks. But she's going on to a wonderful place. And I have witnessed all my life a wonderful mother who loved God, served God, and just witnessed the true example of motherhood. One of the ways that I've witnessed the true example of motherhood is the woman I'm married to. She is the best mother that I know of. I mean, she is, the kids and the grandkids can tell you, Papa's great, but Nana is, we can't do without Nana. And they'll tell you this, Nana, they I try to show off and do what I know to do, this, that, and the other, but they say Nana can do anything. Nana can do anything. And so, I mean, I've got a A-class state-certified general contractor's license. I can pull a permit for anything in the state of Florida, the 100-story high-rise if I had to. But fixing stuff around the house, Nana fixes it a lot quicker than I can. She gets it done. And they know that. They're like, don't take it to Papa. Take it to Nana. He don't know what he's doing. He'll get you hurt trying to fix it. Just take it over there to Nana. What are you laughing about, Watson? It's true. It's true. I know it's true too, bro. I know it's true. My God. Now let's look at verse 1. Get back on track here.
Y'all laugh too much about that. That wasn't that wasn't funny. Okay, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, is that the word in action or what? The church doesn't know that. They want to put out a lot of word, but no action. He's saying, look, you can show the word by your actions, just by the way that you act. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. Now, it's not talking about that you ladies can't dress up, put makeup on and stuff. But he said basically what he's talking about here is the accentuation. If you think you're going to change your husband or anybody, but see, Hollywood has moved into the church. Hollywood. The lady, from the older ladies down to everybody, you got to look. You got to look. You got to look beautiful. You got to, I could labor on that for a little bit. Hallelujah. But he's saying, look, don't let it be the outward appearance that changes him or influences anybody. Let it be the hidden man. But let it be, verse 4, the hidden man of the heart. That's that inward spirit, of course. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Hallelujah. That's the great price. For after this manner, in old times, the holy women also, which trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, don't think that that inward adorning has something to do with outward adorning, because Sarah, she was so beautiful even at an old age that kings were trying to court her. And Abraham had to say, whoa, wait a minute. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now it says, you'll be like this, and you'll be just like the prototype in which is admonished here, which is Sarah, who was subject and adorned herself, although she was outwardly physically beautiful. Her adorning was her inward beauty. But he says, not only would you, if you follow this, and if your adorning is inward beauty, you'll be called the daughter of Sarah. If you do well, that's to walk in obedience to God, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, when we understand amazement here, or for us to understand amazement, we have to go back to not looking there, but remembering what we just read in chapter 1, verse 7, is that he was saying, you guys are under a hellacious fight. It's hard for you to live. Christianity, just the confession, if they know you're a Christian, it's tough. And he's trying to coach him up, and he's trying to say, we can make it. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't cave in. Caving in was just as simple a denouncing Christ and saying, okay, I was wrong. I lost my head for a while. I give up. I give in. I'll go back. I'll go under the law. Christ, and you'd have to say it like Christ is not the Messiah. They believe in a coming Messiah. They just don't believe that Jesus was our coming Messiah. So a denouncement about that meant you're back in. You're back in the circle. He's coaching them up in chapter 1. Here he's saying this. You'll be a daughter of Sarah if you adorn yourself with an inward beauty that portrays itself in an outward fashion, and you also do not give yourself over to amazement. That word is the word fear, or the word of, you might put it in a better vernacular, like hysteria. Like, in other words, women of God who learn to be women of God are strong, and they're strong in their character, and they're strong in persecution. And they perpetuate that to their children and to their children's children. Hallelujah. We are building a church by the grace of God where we're first loving, kind, and then no coddlers, to to give way to a coddling spirit that says anything is an excuse for fear, torment, for weakness of the flesh, or for sin, or for any. He's saying this, women, the word says in another place, in the spirit there is no male or female. I not only believe that women can stand up here and sing, I believe women can stand up here and teach and preach. The same power that flows through me is the same power that flows through them. The thing of it is also in your position as a wife, mother, or a single person, whatever you're perpetuating or teaching through your example is that you're telling your children and you're telling them through example in the godless society that we live in today, we will not fear. We will not walk around in an amazement. That word amazement is like, part of what he's saying is that they're become captive to the surroundings, captive to the fear of the world. Moms that are godly mothers who maybe this message had been called the daughters of Sarah, but I called it something else. But the daughters of Sarah, young or old, are not filled with fear. They're not filled with amazement. Hallelujah. They're listening. They're hearing. Hallelujah. I'm listening and hearing right now. Amber? Amber was sharing something with me this morning. Come and relax. Just take a breath because I put her on the spot. I didn't tell her I was going to do this. She goes, I knew you were going to do that. Share a little bit about what the Holy Spirit shared. Take your time. Hallelujah.
Yesterday morning, I had a very beautiful, unplanned moment with the Holy Spirit. Yesterday was mine and Mike's date day, and it was the first time in over a week that I actually had a moment alone. Kids were with Mom and Dad, and he had left to get a haircut. So I was at home. I got out of bed and just got in the shower, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and put worship music on. So I just turned it on Christian, whatever was on my iPad. And the first song was great, and you know, you don't really have control. I picked one of the good ones that I like that's popular. And, you know, I'm worshiping a little bit, and as I'm worshiping, Holy Spirit started to flow, and it started out with me apologizing, because I thought, man, it's been over a week. I pray every morning over the kids, and we've been gone this week, and so there wasn't a lot of intimate time with the Holy Spirit, and I hadn't actually sat down and prayed in tongues in almost a week. And I thought, God, I'm sorry. You know, that's not normal. So I apologized, started off as an apology. And, you know, he's always there. The moment you stop and you say, oh, I haven't done this, he's right there just wanting to flow again. And so it was just all in tongues, praying in tongues, getting ready. And the first song's beautiful. And the next song was a popular song that I knew. And I wasn't singing, I'm still praying in tongues. But it was... you know, God, if I speak to the mountain and it doesn't move, I'll still trust you. And it's basically when I don't get my answers, I'm still going to trust you. And I thought, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard, because I have never even, and you know, it's hard to pray in tongues if you're not serving the Lord right. But the moment you start doing it, it's hard not to live right. So it's kind of like this battle. But anytime I've ever needed an answer, if I will stop long enough and I will wait for it, I've always gotten it. And I've always felt like I've gotten it. And it started out me just saying, thank you, God. Thank you for not feeling like this. Thank you for what we're being taught. And thank you so much for never thinking that there's not an answer. Because why? It's admirable and it's wonderful that, you know, in their sense that half most of the body of Christ goes through. Just no matter what, I'm going to believe you. No, you're sovereign. And I thought that's admirable, but how sad. And it's so sad. So I just, you know, thanking him for that. And then the Holy Spirit right behind that says, how can they hear me, or how can they get their answers if they don't even speak the language? If they're hearing through prosthetic ears and they're reading, I mean, the word is life, but if you don't possess that part that is all truth, that brings it to the surface, there's no way for them to even understand. So I thought, wow, you know, that's so true. The Holy Spirit's so important. And Then I thought, wow, it's just such a secret. God, I wish there was a sign that had come. And right as I think that, he said, Amber, have you not thought about this? And I was like, what is he saying? I felt a reprimanding a little bit. He said, the day that I came with that gift, it was a world, you know, winds came into a room where there was no wind, and they looked around each other, and there was fire on them and fire out of their mouth. Was that not a sign? And I thought, oh man, there was a sign. It's just we don't talk about it enough. They don't know it. I mean, we talk about it, but they don't talk about it. So the sign and the wonder is there, but that hidden link is such a huge hidden link that almost all of the other body, rest of the body of Christ doesn't have, and we are so blessed to have it. And it just made me want to tell, I have so many friends that are Christians, but I don't want to say not our kind of Christians, because they are, they're born again, but that are not filled with the Spirit. And I'm tired of thinking that that's sad, because they need it. So I'm going to open up my mouth more and talk to them about it more.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was great. So we're doing some awesome teaching around here on the power of the new nature. But one thing that the power of the new nature won't do is, like Dave used to say, it's not statistical. It has an awesome anthem in it to keep you from sin. You can live above sin without the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues. The only thing is, there is no chapter and verse for your life specifically, where you're supposed to live, what ministry you're supposed to be in, who you're supposed to marry, blah, blah, blah. A million questions that there's no chapter and verse for. That's the statistical thing that the only one can give you, and that's the Holy Ghost. That's how you know. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's keep going here, as we do want to honor our mothers. Mothers who are daughters of God becoming disciples have knowledge, and this is what they know. They know this. To live for Christ and teach their children to know Jesus is their greatest assignment in this life. That's their greatest assignment. Number two, they know that on their own personal walk with Christ, that their own personal walk with Christ reflects in everything they do before beauty, before responsibilities, before etc., anything. That's their own personal walk. Now, this is some basic stuff, but we're going to get some more here, and it's good. Number three, they know that to protect their children from the world's influence is their greatest challenge, and they will fight for that freedom like a mother bear that is being robbed of her cubs. Now, when I say they'll fight for their children, now I know there's children in all age groups, and we're going to talk about intercessors in just a moment, because, listen, just because they were once this size and you were taller than them, and now they're this size and they're taller than you, and their mothers themselves or their fathers themselves or your grandparents, they're still your children, and you still have to fight for them. But let's say in that age group where you have an influence over their life, your greatest responsibility at adolescence especially is to provide for the influence of their protection. Meaning this, I'm not talking about being religious, because you can run them off with religion as much as you can by being too secular. But mothers watch what their kids watch, what they listen to, who they hang around with, and they pray in tongues and get those, I don't know why you can't go over there. You know what? I'm sorry, hush, mom doesn't know why you can't go today, but you can't go today. Well, you let me go last week, yeah, and I'll probably let you go next week too, but today you can't go. How many kids in schools, God bless them, I love every single one of them, who had had Holy Ghost-filled parents pray and stay in a place of prayer and woke up that morning who would have said, something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. I don't even have the answer for it. I don't even have all the answers, but you're staying home today when mass shootings take place. when Uncle Joe is at the house. And Uncle Joe is a great community guy. The only thing is Uncle Joe has got some perverted problems. Or the man in the house that is the place where you're going to allow your kid to be the, have the sleepover. And you just know them. You've known them for 30 years. Well, that it always comes out that, my God, it's a shock. Yeah, but are you praying? I used to teach our girls this. If you get that gnawing in your belly, and I wasn't talking about a physical gnawing, but I couldn't explain it all to them, but they'd know, I'd say, if you get that little sickness, Daddy teaches you, if you get that sickness, like, don't go. Or call Mom and Daddy. If you need to come home, we'll come pick you up. Hallelujah. The church is way far too naive, too trusting. We're like simple sheep that just take everybody's word for everything. I could have worked for the CIA or the FBI, because my first disposition is to love everybody, hug everybody, and receive them. But I'm of the disposition like, now you, most everybody in here, I already know, and my guards are down now. But you'll do well to love people, but also let the Holy Spirit confirm them. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen or oh me. I don't know which one. Glory to God. Mothers that are becoming disciples know what they have, what they give them spiritually far outweighs anything that they can give them physically or financially. Don't try to make up a deficit with material things that doesn't work. Now, I'll say this, because there's many godly men and women that are watching and maybe in this service that are wonderful, who are trying to become and are becoming disciples. In this day and hour, with 52% plus of the church becoming divorced, what I have to say is relevant. This is not irrelevant. This is relevant. Divorced children or divorced homes, one of the worst things possible is an overcompensation on a deficit. The deficit is this: there has been a separation. And many times, daddies who have been unfaithful or this, that, and the other, who have not conducted themselves as Christian men, they will try to buy the affection. Listen, and what happens is the worst possible thing happens to divorced kids or kids that are going through divorce is they get overcompensated. Instead of just, if they're just loved normally and just kept, if everything was done like it was supposed to have happened, they just get loved and they get, by way of example, they just get taken to McDonald's. The overcompensation is once the divorce takes place and to show that they're, you know, over, they get taken, instead of McDonald's, it's a trip to Disney World or it's an expensive car. Just be a man and walk in truth and don't take your kids to Disney World or buy them a Corvette. Somebody can relate in here at 16. Be a man of God and take them to McDonald's. Date them. I used to date my daughters. They knew I, and I could get on to my daughters. You know why men can't spank their kids when they're little? Because they're messing around and their conscience bothers them. You can't rebuke somebody when you're doing it yourself. I can't understand sometimes when I talk to men about how other men are, you know, talk, not, I'm not talking bad, I'm just talking about the clutches of sin, like pornography in the church. And some men don't, you know, the first thing they want to do is, you know, I'll never come across in a demeaning way. I want to show them the way out. But once a man starts to try to defend that for others, I start thinking, like Pastor Dave said, you throw that rock into the crowd and the dog that yells, he's the one that got hit. Mm-hmm. You want to argue about it, do you? Okay. I think some of Homer's sarcasm has rubbed off on me today. I got the spirit of Homer on me. Kids get overcompensated. I desire the best for kids, but they're being given pearls and cars to compensate for love, just love, and be a good daddy, good mommy. Hallelujah. Number four, women that are godly women making disciples and mothers, they know that what they give spiritually, okay, I just read that, far outweighs anything in the natural. They know that they must pass it on. I'm just going to read this to save time. 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 6 says, Paul said this to Timothy. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned love or faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So they pass it on. Mothers pass on the richness of truth. They pass it on. They pass it on. Number six, they know that they must dedicate their children to Christ. And I'll say this, behind the scenes, at any age, through prayer. You know, your kids, mothers, your kids are always your kids. They never grow out of being your kids. Amen? The same way, like when the word says, honor thy father and thy mother, it doesn't say if they were good Christian parents. That's it. It's a blatant honor them. Now, you don't have, if they tell you to do something bad, you don't have to go do that bad and because you honor them. But you respect them, you love them. I don't care if whatever they were. If they were abusive, you don't have to do anything that acclimates their abuse. You don't even have to lie and say anything that is beyond your heart. But no matter what, there has to be, you have to go to a place in God where there is a forgiveness. And then you can deal with it in such a way that you can honor them if they're still alive. Or honor their memory, even if they're gone, healing for you is to honor their memory and to say, thank you, God, that they brought me in the earth that I can serve you. And I forgive them. I forgive them. So we honor our parents. Women that are making disciples of their children, they know that they must dedicate their children to Christ behind the scenes at any age through prayer. And I'll just say this. And that's by prayer and a godly example. Let me say this. In a few weeks, she's out of the service, Alexa. Have you seen this little gorgeous Haitian girl that's around here? Right? Oh, my God. She's just gorgeous. She's just gorgeous. We're going to dedicate her, and we're going to have a good time. And there's going to be a proper dedication service. But let me say this, and let me preface this. At any age, behind the scenes, you as a parent, a Eunice or a Lois or a grandmother, can set these ones aside and dedicate them to the Lord. My mother, it doesn't make me any more special than you, but she laid 70, this, I didn't remember this, she laid 72 hours in hard labor in 1960, to birth her first child, and they couldn't, I wouldn't come out. I was a pretty good sized boy, 9 pounds, 14 and a half ounces. That's a pretty good size. But as women, she wouldn't dilate. And so the doctor then, they're old school, they're very novice to cesarean birth. They finally took me C-section. But that was a real novice kind of operation then. Now it's just, you know, they do it so simple and it's so quick. But 72 hours, she about died. I about died. Consequently, I had like 4 operations in my early years of my life, ear operations, all kinds of stuff. But praise God, I'm fine. Amen. And so I made it. Okay. So she dedicated me to the Lord there. But I want to say something, and this is not going to take away from what they're going to do, because what they're going to do, I'm going to give some beautiful, beautiful scripture to say how beautiful it is. But I want to say this to parents and to grandparents that have never had their child or grandchild dedicated, and for whatever reasons they couldn't, or there was not the God-given, this is not Baby Dedication Sunday. I'm going to teach on that in a few weeks. But if there's ever a sense in your heart, I'm speaking to the camera, and I'm not speaking to anybody in here, although I do have some grandparents in here and parents alike, that is a concern of theirs, because I've talked to a few. But listen, first of all, let's get it straight. There's never a place that you're going to find in Scripture that Jesus ever taught baby dedication. He never taught it, okay? That he never gave instructions on it. There's never a place where the apostles ever gave instruction on baby dedication. And again, that's not taken away from what we're going to do. What I'm saying that for is this. Your child, the determination of whether your child will serve the Lord is not based on a service. It's based on whether you serve the Lord and you perpetuate an example in front of them. Now, the way that we do baby dedication, it really is kind of a tradition, and there's some scriptures that will help in that tradition. But if a parent is going to stand up here, they're saying, just like in an ordination, we're part of this, and so their life has to be a part of it. They can't scripturally, they can't be living in the world, and they can't be doing things of the world, and they have to be saying, I meet all. But if they don't want to do that, that doesn't mean that a grandparent, and the other thing too is this is the closest thing that Jesus ever did to dedicating kids. He never had a service, but he said, allow them, suffer them not, allow them to come, don't stop them. And he put his hands on them, and the closest thing you'll ever find to baby dedication is he blessed them. He just say, I bless you. You can do that. Most of you in here probably weren't even dedicated. You're here though. You're serving the Lord. What it really boils down to is there's somebody that will drug them. Will they be drugged? Will they be drugged to church? Will there be a godly example in the home? Hallelujah. That service is not their dedication. Their dedication is when they become born again. Hallelujah. Amen. So that helps, because that helps. I think it helps. I believe it does. There's a dedication service in 1 Samuel 1:11. The only thing that Jesus, you say, well, Jesus was dedicated. No, Jesus had a bar mitzvah at 12 years old. He fulfilled the law, okay? That's what a bar mitzvah is. The Jewish child comes, and the Jewish boy, he becomes a man. He's dedicated, okay? So I just wanted to give you that. Thank you, Jesus. Number 7, they remember children of who, what makes the difference is not the service, it's the life lived. Number 7, they remind children of who they are. Mothers, you need to continually remind your kids of who they are in Christ. They build greatness in their children by building their self-worth in Christ and His Word. They do not build the self-worth in their children by the standards of this world. That was number 9. They don't build their girls to be sexy. They don't build their boys to be professional athletes. They build inside of them character to know Christ. And they teach them to come to church and follow Christ. And then they can be whatever God calls them to be. Hallelujah. Last of all, mothers who are disciples walk in love. Number 2, they walk in forgiveness. If your son or daughter hears you talking evil about the worst person that ever did anything bad about you, and there has been people, you cannot escape that in their life. Or they cannot escape that. If they hear you talking about the wrongs that somebody did, that is an anthem of unforgiveness, and you'll build that unforgiveness in them. Hallelujah. I'm preaching real good. Number three, women that are disciples walk in love and forgiveness, not only for people, but the biggest thing, many times for themselves. They have to learn the biggest person to forgive is yourself. Because you have to try to forget about all your past mistakes. Listen, moms who have no children, who have aborted their children, maybe you've already dealt with this, so you don't have to renew this Sunday morning. If it's dealt with, it's dealt with. But one of the biggest things is they have to forgive themselves. They have to know that they are forgiven if they've confessed it. And then they forgive themselves. And whether or not they have a little one walking here on earth, they are mothers. Because there's a child in existence. A human being somewhere in heaven. Hallelujah. Mothers that are becoming disciples never give up on their children. If you're a mother that's 70, 75, and your children are in their 50s, I don't care where they're walking, you never give up on them. You never give up on them. They are going to make heaven, and they're going to go in with you. You're going to spend eternity, and eternity's a lot longer than this earth. Hallelujah. They know that nothing is impossible through the power of prayer and a godly example. Hallelujah. I'd like all of our mothers to please stand this morning, and I would like for all of our mothers to come to the front. Now, some of you mothers, some of you ladies, you can just judge it based on your own, however you feel. Nobody's going to be forced. Some of you have fulfilled obligations in the past where I consider you to be a mother because you have mothered children in very many different capacities. So you've mentored them. Please, you're very much a part. So please come forward. All the mothers, please come and stand. Amen. Maybe there's one or two next door. Isn't this beautiful? Some beautiful ladies. Now they're still coming. Hallelujah. And you, some of you ladies can go over here if you like. There's plenty of room. You see me in the middle? You know what this is? A rose between thorns. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, ladies. I'm just kidding. I'm just, Rex, Brian, help me. Come on, guys. Listen, no, we're not helping you at all. I forgot to mention this, but you ladies are always a part of this. So every year, we don't do this, but we help them. The Mockley Pregnancy Center gives us these are little bottles this year. Little. They're expecting, they usually ask for, you know, like the coins and change and stuff, but I think this needs to be stuffed with dollars and maybe $100 or $10. But please pick up one. When do they have to have them back? Till Father's Day, okay? And we may have to get more bottles. So you can fill it up, bring it back, and we can give you another bottle, okay? Okay. But that, you can pick those up in the back today. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to put my back to the camera, and I'm going to address all these ladies. Why don't you close in, ladies? I'll really get the thorn out of the roses, okay? That's the truth, okay? So, hallelujah. I want to say to most of these women go here on a regular basis, and I want to say how much that Candy and I appreciate every single one of you. And we've got some that are here that have just grew up in this, basically always been here for a long time, and some that have grown up like my daughters and Homers and all of our, you know, our mothers standing here, most of them have children in this church or now grown children. But we appreciate your posterity, what you've taught, more than words can say. And so I desire this really to be more a spiritual thing than a formality, but I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart how much that I love every single one of you and how much we all appreciate. Could we all stand, give our mothers a great big hand clap? Now, I'm going to step this way because I want the camera to be able to see you, but I'm going to ask all of us that are in the congregation to stretch our faith this way, and I'm just going to walk down and touch each one of the mothers just very lightly and very politely, perhaps on the shoulder, and just bless them. And when I'm blessing them, you're blessing them also. I'm going to pray a prayer to start with. Father, I just thank you so much for our mothers today. I thank you for my own personal mother, and then I thank you for the mother that is in my own home, a wife that has exemplified godly leadership. But I thank you for every single, Lord, you are so pleased with every single one of these women that are standing here today, because they're here. They're not in the world. They're here. They're standing on this carpet, believing God to be better mothers, better women. So one thing I pray, that they will not walk out of here with a heaviness of heart. Lord, even if their children are not here, that they will know that God is with them, pleased with them, and helping them to see their children restored wherever their children are at, whether they're grown or small. And Father, I pray that every single one of them will have a blessing this day, a blessing of peace. They'll lay down their heads and feel your expectation, your blessing over their life, your desire. I pray, Lord, for women that are in this group that will be even future mothers who either have children in their womb or are desiring to have children. I pray your blessing be upon them. I pray that, Father, that godly seed they will bear. And I speak your life into their bodies. I speak your blessings over their bodies. And I pray for the women that are standing here today, Father, that in Jesus' name, that if there's any ailments in their bodies, Lord, whatever kinds of diseases or what kinds of, Lord, anything that might be trying to attack their body presently, not just today, but over the last couple of months, Lord, in Jesus' name, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set them free from the law of sin and death, meaning sickness must go out of their bodies. I pray that every one of them will live to be an elderly age without any infirmities. Lord, filled with beauty from the inside and beauty on the outside. I pray that, Lord God, that there'll be nothing about them inwardly, physically, or spiritually that will have anything less than the fullness of your health and your blessing. And Lord, I just speak your life and I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless my dear sister sitting here on the front row. God bless you in Jesus' name. I bless these women of God. These are mighty women of God. Lord, these are daughters of Sarah in the name of Jesus. I speak to the daughters of Sarah, blessings in the name of the Lord. Blessings to the daughters of Sarah in the name of Jesus. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings to the daughters of Sarah. Blessings in Jesus' name. Blessings to the daughters of Sarah in the name of Jesus. Blessings, blessings, blessings to the daughter of Sarah in the name of Jesus. Blessings to these daughters of Sarah in the name of Jesus. Blessings to these daughters of Sarah. Blessings in the name of Jesus. Blessings to these daughters of Sarah in the name of Jesus. Blessings to these daughters of Sarah in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we speak blessings to those that are watching. Mothers, in the name of the Lord, receive the life of God. Into your bodies, be healed. Into your spirits, receive the life of Christ. If you're here listening to us today and you do not know Jesus, just simply ask him into your heart. Today is a new day. Blessings over your children. And I say this to every mother that is watching or in this room. And if any of their children are in a place of backslidden position or have never known Christ, we claim them today in the name of Jesus. We break the power of sin, Satan's diabolical bondage over their minds and hearts, and we release the grace of God. Father, go after them like you've never gone after them before. Send forth your labors. We bless our mothers today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Candy, before you guys leave, Candy has something for you guys just to say we love you. Is there some over on that side? Kathy, you want to help? Okay. So, yep. So how many they get, Candy? Two or three, or it doesn't matter. All right, blessings to you ladies. Let's give them another great big hand. Hallelujah.